Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for coming to hang out with me a little bit today. This is Watch Your Roots, and this is my program Here, There, and Everywhere, where we talk about the unthinkable, weird, learn about the lunatic fringe, the things that you don't want to know but absolutely need to. Wow, a lot to talk about today. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and full of quiet gentleness. Then it is peace-loving and courteous. It allows discussion and is willing to yield it to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It's wholehearted and straightforward and sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Boy, I'm thinking about what the heck I should tell you when there's too much to talk about. There's too much to talk about. John Kennedy talked about secret societies in the military-industrial complex. J. Edgar Hoover said the individual is handicapped by coming to face the conspiracy that is so monstrous. He can't believe it. He can't believe it exists. Should I talk to you this morning about Aleister Crowley or Madame Blavatsky? How about the Rothschilds and the 13 ruling families? Maybe we should talk about the Moravian bloodline and the Illuminati, the hidden government, the reptiles, the seed of Satan. Should we talk about these things? Maybe so. I know that they don't give me a spirit of liberty when I talk about them, even though they make me more aware. I will invite you to understand that no weapon formed against you will prosper. We talk about revivals. I'm going to tell you a little story once. But before that, you know, when Jesus Christ walked on the earth and he picked his 12 apostles, they lived with him 24/7. They learned every day, moment by moment, by Jesus' demonstrations of love, how he was a righteous foot washer to humanity. So when someone is preaching what you don't want to hear, open up your mind. Because those peacemakers are trying to plant seeds of peace so you will reap a harvest of righteousness in the end of this age, where we have rumors of wars and rumors of returning angels. I want to tell you that when Jesus Christ walked on the earth and his disciples walked with him, they were different from everybody else. That church didn't look like the world. The church didn't have a worldly look. Didn't have a watered-down word. They didn't go to church on Sundays to be amused by rock stars on stage singing gospel. They tried to be separate. How is it that we don't recognize this? How is it that we don't see the church becoming more and more and more like the world because they don't want to talk about the tough stuff? This is Watch Your Roof. If you'd like to talk to me, sweet talk me, or even yell at me, give me a call. My guest calling line is 347-945-5170, and I promise to try to keep my eye on the switchboard. Things you don't want to hear, but absolutely need to in this world. We're going to go to God's Word because nothing else matters. What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Isn't it because there's a whole army of evil desires within you? No prostitutes are permitted in Israel, either man or woman. You must not bring to the Lord any offering from the earnings of a prostitute or homosexual, for both are detestable to the Lord. Their haughtiness they come among us into our worship hall holding hands. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee in the pride of thine heart, O thou who dwellest in the cleft of the rock. That holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest a high. High places the eagle. I'll bring thee down from thence, shall, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be desolate. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues. Therefore, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighboring cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall son of man dwell anything near it. Make him run away. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? He's taken a counsel against Edom and Sodom and Gomorrah. We go to our churches today and we sit in the pew seat and listen to the Sermon on the Mount four times a year and the Beatitudes four times a year. And others, woman at the well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you're not told to have a spirit of discernment. You're not told to gain a spirit of prophecy that will strip the power of the enemy. You are not told you're in the fig tree generation and there's never been anything like it before. The world is mirroring those days as it was, as the days of Noah, as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the spirit of rebellion is bold. And family, if you don't protect yourself and build up a supernatural hedge through the Word of God, you're not going to make it. You're going to have that time of destruction take over. Because Satan is a very powerful, and if you don't know how to cast him out, you're not going to be equipped. So when you go to church on Sunday to watch an amusement, Does it move you to have anguish about sin? Are you pained and sorrowed about it? Has it taught you how to apply discernment? Do you feel the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you walk out, or do you just feel like you've had your legs exercised? Were you convicted to walk out of that service to go out with God's vision to rescue those, become the hands and the feet of the bride, to help God restore those who are in the world and living in it and of it? How can you go to church, be served up a watered-down seed, sit next to the world that's sitting next to you, worshiping next to you, which is a cloud without water and a spot at your table? And you were told there's a whole army of evil desires within you. You want what you don't have, so you go and kill it. You long for what others have, and you can't afford it. So you start a fight to take it away from them. And yet, the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole aim is wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. You're like an unfaithful wife who loves her husband's enemies. You don't realize that making friends with God's enemies, the evil pleasures of this world, makes you an enemy of God. I say it again. The evil pleasures of this world makes you an enemy of this God that you say you worship. That if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasures of the unsaved world, you cannot also be a friend of God. What do you think it means when the scripture says that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, watches over us with tender jealousy? Give yourself to God. Be humble. Resist the devil and its evil way, and he will flee from you. Let there be tears for the wrong things in the world. Let there be sorrow and sincere grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Only he who made the law can rightly decide among us. Do you have a God look or a world look? Has Satan confused us so much that we no longer can recognize how it grieves God and it anguishes him that the whole world walks in sin, even some of those born by the Holy Spirit? And he wonders why it is we're not walking set apart and separate. Because we should be discerners and learners and discerning as we see the world conforming more and more, even in our church. We don't recognize it. We have even the worst abominations looking more and more like the church. And I can tell you, until your heart feels the same anguish and pain that God feels when he looks down, when he expects a restoration, a renewal, a revival, are we going to have a revival
from blind mice being led by blind prophets. Hallelujah. How about Ezekiel 33? I am against the prophets who prophesy out of their own hearts. Not my words, but their words. They say there is a vision in my mind from God, but these are not my visions. They're their visions. Have they strayed so far away from God's vision, family, that it's too late? Has the world had its whole way with you? Do you have a scriptural Holy Spirit in you? Do you feel the joy of the Holy Spirit in you? That you're strong enough that you could be set apart? A righteous house, wholly built? Where is the relationship with Jesus Christ when we walk so much like the world? We see Islam's growing every day. We see the apostasies in the church growing every day. We read about one religion. Is it going to be Islam? Is it going to be Rome? Maybe the Jesuits. Maybe it's going to be the mafia. Maybe it's just going to be all about money and this world and this carbon system. But you have received a holy home in the future, if you're walking in the steadfast on Jesus Christ's path, a flat, well-lit path. You're not walking looking like the world because you're following sound doctrine, and you know you're a consecrated vessel. Always wanting to be increasing in love and in knowledge and in strength. Praying humbly, ministering to the saints. Using all of the benefits that the Creator God has given you. Teaching those who have less knowledge than you, maybe. Are you teaching those that have less than you? You don't look like the world. Kind of feeling a little beat up and tattered and kicked around, thrown under the bus by the world. Be glad. Because the world first hated Jesus Christ. And they threw him under the bus, that's for sure. So rejoice and be happy in your grief. But I can tell you what the Lord God said. Some of us have been given special abilities as apostles. To others, he's given the gift of being able to preach well. Some have a special ability in winning people to Christ and helping them to trust him as their Savior. Still others have a gift for caring for God's people as a shepherd does his sheep, leading and teaching them in the ways of God. Why is it that he gives these special abilities to each one of us so that we can do good things? Because it's his good pleasure to equip his people to do good work for him. It's his pleasure to equip them to build up the church and the body of Christ so they have a position of strength and that they're mature. That they don't look like the world at large.
Then they will no longer be like little children, always changing their mind about what they believe because someone has come along and told them this or told them that and cleverly lied. They've turned the truth into a lie. And because you haven't discerned the word and been under the direction in a church that fit together perfectly under sound doctrine, they've put it their own way. And it doesn't help the other parts of the body. The body is not healthy and is not growing in love. And it is not full of love. It's polluted. Let me say this then, speaking for the Lord. Live no longer as the unsaved do, for they are blinded and confused. Their closed hearts are full of darkness, and they are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds against Him. And they cannot understand His ways. They no longer care about right or wrong, and have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop at nothing, always being driven by their own evil minds and the lusts of the world and their reckless lusts driven right into the front door of your church. But that isn't the way God taught you. If you really heard His voice and learned from Him the truth concerning that thing. Have you thrown off the old evil nature, the old you that was a lover of the world? The love of the evil, rotten, through and through world that is full of lust, theft, where rust and thief and moss take away. Don't be part of that. Change your attitude. You have to throw off that old self. You have to recognize what grieves God's heart. Throw off the old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in the evil, rotten, through and through, full of lust, sham of the world. Your attitudes and your thoughts must always be changing for the better. You must be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. Stop lying to each other and start telling the truth. Because we're all parts of each other. Don't cause the Holy Spirit to sorrow by the way you live. Remember, He's the one who marks you to be present on the day of salvation. Be contrite and humble. Try to lead those that you can with a tender-hearted, forgiving one another heart. Don't argue about doctrine. Stop being mean, bad-tempered and angry. Quarrelsome and harsh words and dislike of each other should have no place in our lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you, because you belong to Christ. Increasing in knowledge, having a strong word, strong doctrine, the head and not the tail. Jesus said we need to be increasing in works and charity. Do you have more love for God now than you did? We're waiting for a perfect day. the day of the Lord. He wishes us to be clean before him and growing in his word each and every day, in love, in his word, not only in this world, not being of it. Have you forced God to make an appointment with you? That little story I was going to tell you, I'm going to tell you now. I work in a little small town. Had a gentleman come into my little seat and getting a haircut, talked all about his church for about, takes me about 15, 20 minutes. Celebration at the church. Celebrate, celebrate. Having a big celebration at the church. Wonderful, wonderful church. I listened to the talk about the wonderful church. In the last 5 minutes before this man left my chair, I asked him, can I read to you a scripture from the Holy Letter of God to you today? And he looked at me and said, lady, I already went to church this week, and I've already heard a lecture, and I only need one a week. That was from my neighboring community church, looking just like the world. Are we planted and rooted in Christ? In a place, in space, in time, where we are the breath of life in every way conforming to a pre-designed paradigm, the one that God made and not the one the world made. Because God is fresh every day. He knows that you have sin and it does grieve you if you are partaker in his bread. That you come with a contrite heart. And he promised you that you would flourish and bear fruit if you gave him your sin, he would be righteous to forgive. With each breath, you should become more and more like him, like Jesus, less like the tail, more like the head, less like the world, and more like the breath, who gave you life. Not this carbon life that wants to live forever, like those transhumanists want, but a glorified life. A glorified life and everlasting life, growing in grace. A growth in grace is our only assurance, and this grace is from Jesus. You know, when you know you have grace applied, you know that your root is growing every day, and you grow more and more aware of what grieves God's heart. You know that you are set apart. You know what makes God happy. In every breath, you want to increase your awareness of what is the brokenness of God's heart. And then it becomes harder and harder to grieve him. It breaks your heart. And the tears of a broken heart is saved by God. So walk in righteousness. We recognize what the world is, but we don't walk by that. We walk two worlds apart with a contrite heart, planted in Christ, a strong seed, not watered down, discerning, learning, growing, mindful of a breath of life who gave it, and why we cannot allow the world to change God's vision of his creation or put him into a time slot. Don't make an appointment with God. Walk with him 24/7, just like his disciples did. Thank you for coming with me today into God's word. hope it touched the hearts that needed to be touched. See you soon. God bless you. Thanks.